Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
David had suffered plenty at the hands of ungodly men. Today's passage contains his godly advice on how to react when we are assaulted by people or circumstances beyond our control. Fret not, delight yourself in the Lord. Take some time just to admire Him. Let Him be your source of true peace. Please open your Bible to Psalm 37 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study.
Psalm 37, the Psalm of David. This is a psalm that, if you've read ahead, expresses in a variety of ways the contrast between the life of the wicked and the life of the righteous. And ever since Cain and Abel to this present hour, there's always been those two groups of people on earth, those that are righteous and those that are wicked. And here David is once again writing from his heart, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we will see that the contrast that existed then, we could have read this psalm on this evening's news, and it would apply to your life, to my life, and to the days that we're living in. I read from a pastor to his congregation these words: "If we expect to be found unshakable in the days to come, it is vital that each one of us make an immediate and deliberate decision in our hearts to go the full journey with Jesus Christ." And I could not agree with that dear brother more. We are living in the last days. We are living in perilous times. And it is so important for us to be men and women who just live out our faith, drawing closer to the Lord. Because things are not going to get easier. You realize that, right? Things are not going to get easier. And so here David is writing from his experience from the time that he was living. And he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And so in verse 1 and in verse 7 and in verse 8, the exhortation is, fret not. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. So we can just skip over that because that doesn't apply to any one of us that are here tonight. Don't worry. Now, he didn't say, don't worry, be happy. He said, fret not. Fret not thyself. Don't get upset. Don't get so burnt out. Because the word in Hebrew actually means don't get burnt up. Don't let these things that you see going on, the prosperity of the wicked, those that have no regard for God at all, they're doing well, they're prospering, their kids are doing well, everything is going well with them. And here are you and I tonight, hopefully, pressing into Jesus, wanting to see the Lord glorified, and sometimes it just doesn't look fair. But then when you look at Calvary, that's not fair, is it? If we got what we deserved, none of us want that. And yet, what David writes is what we need to hear. Because many times we find ourselves like Asaph did in Psalm 73, looking at the wicked, looking at those that are lost and wondering, wow, they've got it pretty good. It looks like things are going well for them. And in verse 1 and in verse 7 and in verse 8, David says, fret not. Don't worry. Don't get upset. Now, if you are keeping up with current events and watching the news, how many of you, or let me ask this, does anybody other than me yell at your television? It never yells back. But I say, that can't be. That is just nonsense. That, how can that be? And you find yourself getting all heated and all worked up over something that you have no control over. And that's really what David, part of what David is saying here. But he's also talking about those of us who, in a moment of weakness, or maybe in a moment when we're in those valleys, he says, don't be envious, don't be jealous of those workers of iniquity. And the phrase workers of iniquity, he's describing a group of people who deviate from what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And so David here is telling us, don't get all heated up when you look at the prosperity or the success of those who are wicked in this life. Why does he tell us that? Because you and I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And God knows that there are things that can trigger us emotionally, that can just paralyze us physically, could have an impact upon us. And he's warning us about those paralyzing emotions of anger or sometimes jealousy. There you are driving down the road in your vehicle, and here goes some guy or some gal by you cruising in a 2021, name it. And because we're just so incurably human, there are times when we look at our neighbors and say, wow, they've really got it made, don't they? And David says, and he's going to tell us throughout the psalm, don't envy them. Don't be jealous. You see, because those emotions like anger or regret, we need to see him who is invisible. And this idea of not envying the wicked or the worldly is found all the way through Scripture. Proverbs 23:17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is an end, and your expectation will not be cut off. That's our expectation. But it's not the person who is outside of Christ. Verse 2 of Psalm 37 says, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, there in the Middle East, after the rainy season ends, which is late spring, there's a time of great heat. There's a time where there's no precipitation whatsoever, and everything green quickly becomes parched and withers away. And what the psalmist is telling us tonight, what David is telling us through the Holy Spirit, is the prosperity of those whose happiness and pleasure is only found in this world is a passing thing. It's all going to end. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? The book of Ecclesiastes, remember Solomon? Solomon thought, well, maybe if I had more money, maybe if I had more pleasure, maybe if I had more women, maybe if I had more, he just read what he had. He had everything that a man could want, a woman could want. And he said when he got to the end of it, having experienced everything that you could want, he said, it's all vain. It's all empty. He said the conclusion of the matter is fear God. Keep his commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. When are we going to learn that the world has nothing for us? Nothing. So then David gives us a cure for envy, a cure for jealousy. Verse 3, trust in the Lord, or trust in Yahweh, and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Now, in context, each tribe, each clan and family in Israel. They had their assigned inheritance, which was not to be passed into other hands. And the Lord promised to care for the land of the faithful. And so that's the idea here. He's going to talk about the land in verse 9, and verse 11, and verse 22, verse 29, verse 34. You and I are not promised any geographical land as New Testament believers. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. If you want to know what our new home looks like, just read Revelation 21 and 22. Put that on the market. How much that's going to cost? And so the best is yet to come. But he says, instead of envying what you don't have, and that's it, that can be a challenge. Instead of envying what you don't have, instead of envying those who have what you wish you had. But usually when you envy somebody that has what you wish you had, it goes deeper than that, because then you begin to really, those jerks, why did they get it? Why not me? Why not I? And then Satan's got you all like the hamster in that little wheel that they have in the science class in high school. He says, trust in the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. The word trust here means, it describes the assurance of safety and security that stems from an intimate knowledge of the character of God. We can trust God tonight. He says, in a world that has gone mad, in a world that is crazy, trust me. You see, a fretful heart is not a trusting heart, because a fretful heart is a heart that is double-minded. So, one cure for envy and jealousy, trust in the Lord and just do good. Just do good. And then in verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, that's a passage of scripture that is oftentimes quoted way out of context. Does this passage tell me that if I delight myself in the Lord, then he'll just give me whatever I want? He's not going to give you things that are carnal or ungodly or not in keeping with his will or his purposes. James tells us that you and I can pray things amiss, that we might consume them on our own lusts. So obviously, that's not what David is saying here. A.W. Tozer tells us that the word delight speaks of, I love this, the admiration, which is the appreciation of the excellency of God. In other words, he says in verse 3, David, trust God. And in verse 4, he says, just admire him. When was the last time, seriously, that you just sat still and just admired the Lord? You just sat still in his presence, maybe having a cup of coffee in the morning. I'm a rooster. My wife's an owl, so we kind of like cross paths, you know. And I crow in the morning, and she hoots at night. And we just—it's just taking the time to sit still. I think that's something that is so lost in our generation of the church. We're always in a hurry to get here and to get there, and we've got so many devices that just go ding, 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 ding all day long. Shut them all off. Take a time where you just get alone and just sit still. Just be quiet. That's tough. It's quieter. It's harder than you think, right? And just let the Spirit of God bring you into the real presence of the Lord and begin to admire him. Think of his attributes. And that's what David is saying here. Because when you fix your eyes on the Lord, nothing that someone else has or no one can even touch the beauty and the glory compared with the Lord. You see, to enjoy the blessings of God and ignore the blessing the blesser himself, you know what that is? That's idolatry. And I love that quote in his book, Desiring God. John Piper wrote, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And that is true. He is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And then in verse 3, so we got trust in verse 5. We've got trust in verse 3, delight in verse 4, commit or entrust or roll. Put the full weight Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Just commit your ways to the Lord. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Psalm 16, verse 3 says, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Just practicing the discipline of committing everything you do. A ride home tonight. Lord, I commit this ride home to you. I commit this ride to church, to work. I commit this time to you. It's amazing how that kind of like gets your heart, it awakens your heart. Something happens. You just see things that you don't normally see. You hear things that you don't normally hear. You click on the radio and there it is. There is a song that you need to hear, or something that is said that you need to hear. Lord, he's telling us, commit your way to me. There's two ways we can handle life. God can do things my way, or I can do things his way. Well, how's it working out for you when you do things your way? How do you spell disaster? In any language. It's a mess. It's a train wreck. He says, commit your way to me. All your ways. Not some of your ways. Not 95% of your ways. Commit all your ways to me. Do your best and commit the rest. And notice it says in verse 6, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. And then in verse 7, here's the fourth. So we have trust, we have delight, we have commit, and in verse 7, rest in the Lord. And you know what that means? Be still. Is it easy for you to be still? It's not easy for me. I have two gears, overdrive and off. That's it. Be still. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, waiting is enough. He says, wait patiently. That's like a dynamic duo, isn't it? Wait patiently. But it means to wait with anticipation. You see, God is God, right? And he knows the end from the beginning. He's going to tell us in this psalm that he knows the number of our days. And he tells us to rest in him. Hebrews 3 and 4 tells us about entering into God's rest. Now, in context, he's talking about salvation. Rest into God's work. Rest in his work and cease from your own work. But we can apply that in the natural. Just learning to commit all of our ways to the Lord prayerfully, resting in him, being still, and then taking your hands off. You know, sometimes we cast our cares upon the Lord, you know, like a fisherman. We cast it on, okay, Lord, you got it. Okay. You haven't done anything in 45 seconds. I'm going to take it. He says, be still. Be still and wait patiently for him. James says in chapter 1, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. One of my favorite non-biblical authors is Andrew Murray, and he says, quote, if we truly set ourselves to wait upon God, we will find that it is with him we are impatient, because he does not at once or as soon as we would wish do our bidding. And you know what happens when we get ahead of the Lord? Any of you ever get ahead of the Lord? Just a wee bit? None of you. It's good. Good. Well, some of us do. But when you think of it, all of our willing and all of our running and all of our desire and all of our effort, apart from waiting on God and hearing from him, really always amounts to wood, hay, and stubble. James tells us we should even say, if it's your will, we'll go here, or we'll go there, we'll start that business, we'll do that. Learning to commit everything to him. And you know, one of the ways that we glorify God and honor God and express faith in him is when we sit still before him and just wait. Lord, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to be responsible for what you've given me to do in life. I'm not going to be careless. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to do anything stupid, but I'm not going to get ahead of you. I'm waiting to hear from you. And I'll rest in what you have told me to do. And I don't know about you, but I find myself asking God to give me the humility that rests in his wise dealings and the grace that I need to be still. And then he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, to be angry isn't always a sin. One of the attributes of God is that he is known of a God as a God of wrath. Jesus turned over the tables of the money changers. Jesus was angry at people when they thought things or did things that were contrary to the heart of his Father. But there are times when you and I may get angry with people. Anybody here ever get angry with people? This is like great marriage counseling scripture. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Ephesians 4:26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. How long has this been going on? Oh, 15 years. So you've let 15 years of the sun going down upon your wrath? Cease from anger. The Bible says that the anger of man, the unrighteous anger of man, never accomplishes the will of God. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, don't take matters into your own hands. Trust in the Lord. Why? For evildoers in verse 9 shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It'd be interesting to do a little Bible study on just the word waiting, waiting on the Lord. Just waiting on him, being still, listening to him. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. What a verse that is. What a verse that is. Wait only upon God. My expectation is from him. When you or I put expectations on human beings that only belong upon God, we set ourselves up for disappointment and failure. Your expectation, our expectation is from him. That's for someone here tonight. God is working right now. Your expectation is from him. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, there is going to be a kingdom set up on earth, a millennial kingdom, and you and I are going to be in that kingdom one of these days. It's going to be glorious. How beautiful that kingdom age is going to be. Can you imagine? No elections for 1,000 years. Oh my, oh my. There will be an abundance of peace. Now, when you hear the word meekness, it doesn't mean weakness. Jesus was meek and lowly in heart. The word meek means strength controlled by God. It means to be God controlled, not you controlled, God controlled. One day we are all going to be in that kingdom as kings and priests with Christ ruling and reigning, and there is going to be an abundance of peace, glorious peace. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.